Testament. I'll read it to you and then I'll join you back in Deuteronomy. Read these words in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse, oh, you know what? I get ready to go right on about without making our confession. What not? I'm surprised somebody didn't. No. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and make our confession? How about that? All right. And we invite those of you joining online as well to join us. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Sound great. Lord bless you. Ephesians 6:4, if you want to write this scripture down, says, and you, fathers, this is a word spoken directly to fathers, but indirectly to moms as well. It says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so I'd like to base today's message on those words, bring them up in the Lord. Bring them up in the Lord. And as we look to God's word for his wisdom in parenting, I believe there is an application for us all, because the word, that phrase, build up, means to feed or to nourish. And so in that sense, we can all seek to build up or feed or nourish someone in his or her walk with the Lord. And I had a good example of that happen this morning. I was down in the office going over the message, which I typically do on Sunday mornings, about 6 o'clock. Had my phone in my pocket, and I felt a buzz. So I pulled it out and looked at it, and it was a text from Pastor David in Ghana in West Africa. And just without, he wished me Happy Father's Day, but there were some other words there. And I want you to know, it blessed me and encouraged me, and it brought me up in the Lord, so to speak. Do you know how I'm saying that? So that's what I'm saying. As we look into the scripture, whether you're a parent or not, there is an application for us all to see how we can bring someone else up in their walk with the Lord. So I thank God for that this morning. The Bible says this in Psalms 127:3. I'd like to read it to you from the New Living Translation. It'll be on the screen, and then we'll look at a few verses in Deuteronomy 6. The Bible says this, Psalm 127:3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children are a blessing. amen, that's right. And they are. I thank God for children. Could you even imagine, somebody, a group wrote a song, I think it was called I Thank God for Kids years ago. But it's hard to even imagine a world without children, isn't it? I mean, just bringing in excitement and life and love and kind of that unconditional love that they would tend to have for us and for people. And, you know, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And so God created male and female not just to carry on humanity, which is the obvious reason, but he created male and female because he wants children to be brought up in the loving commitment of a mom and dad, because there is something that both bring into that relationship. And love and commitment give children a sense of stability and peace. Love and commitment create an atmosphere that promotes learning and growth. And I know that God knows our individual situations. He knows our family settings. And many today are brought up in single-parent homes, maybe raised by, whether it's grandparents, foster parents. Thank God for everyone who's willing to do so. And so this is certainly not, I want to come alongside to support someone in that situation. Let's say if I was a single dad, I had a child or little children, and I'm single, what I could do is I could do my part, as one person can, but then I could have them involved in like a church family, and they could have godly role models as other moms and ladies in the church to be a blessing and to have a godly influence in that way. So we work together. That's what I believe God's heart is, in our families and in his family, coming together that way to bring them up in that sense in the Lord. And having, you know, raised one daughter, we thank God. I thank God. It's one of the greatest blessings I've ever experienced in this life to be a dad. I think Kim would say the same as a mom. And she's basically grown now, and we thank God. But bringing up children, I would say even more so in today's world, takes wisdom. And it's work. All the parents said, is effort, is work. It's not easy. It takes consistency. Man, you got to be consistent. You can't just be, you know, in and out, up and down. It's consistency. And even with the wisdom of God, work, consistency, it still takes time. And even then, we can't choose for someone else as far as their own walk with the Lord. There's a saying, God has no grandchildren. What that means is that we're to train our children. We want to point them to the Lord. But ultimately, we each have to make that choice to say, I believe the word of God, and I'm going to follow Jesus too. And it's his love that draws us and his Holy Spirit that makes that truth real to us. But whatever we have to put in investing in our sons and daughters, the rewards are worth the sacrifice in potentially both time and for eternity. Bring them up in the Lord. Would you say that with me? Bring them up in the Lord. And so today I just want to focus on two very practical ways I hope that we can do that. Again, you think about how you live it out in your relationships, and then two more next week as I'll do a part one and a part two. If you found Deuteronomy chapter 6, let me just go ahead and give you the first point here. To bring up others in the Lord, is we first need to live God's word. To live God's word, I'll tell you what the other one is. It's just to live God's word and then to give God's word. So to live God's word and to give God's word. And we'll read these verses in just a moment. Live God's word, give God's word. Would you say that with me? Live God's word, give God's word. Because God is a father who leads the way for us. The Bible says God first loved us, and then that's the reason we love him. So he's a father who leads the way. And the Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. You shall love the Lord your God, and please notice first, with all your heart, with all your soul, that's our mind, our will, our emotions, and with all your strength. So every part of our being then, to love the Lord with our heart, our soul, and then our body, our physical strength, is what God wants from us. But again, we're not the initiator. God is. We love him because he first loved us. And it's because he loved us with such a self-sacrificing love that even this holy God, who could have just said, you made your choice, you've sinned, okay, because his holiness will not allow sin into his, he can't have fellowship with sin. But even though God is holy, the Bible also says God is love, and his heart wouldn't let him. And so instead of abandoning us and leaving us lost in our sin, he sent his son to rescue us from our sin and save us from sin and death. And when we really come to believe the word of God, the testimony that, yes, I've sinned, my sin separates me from God, not just in time, but in eternity, but yet he loved me that much. If he loved me that much, I want to believe in him and love him and follow him. And then when that happens, a miracle takes place. His spirit indwells us. Our sins are forgiven, and we are made righteous before this holy God. And we can have close fellowship with him. And so he wants to bring us up, and then he wants us to do that in the lives of certainly our sons and daughters and others that we can have a godly influence in. So he says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. So would you just think about this morning? Do you believe the word of God? Because that's the first step. And if you do, then are you a follower of Jesus? Because they go together. If we really believe, then we follow him. And follow means that we just seek to live by his word and with his help to follow his example. But it all starts with that first step of believing. So if you believe God's word and you've received the love of God for you, his unconditional love, then here's our part. Thank you, Lord. We thank him. And then the Lord help me to love you and live for you. That's what it means to live by God's word. It starts in our heart and then we live it out. We lead by example. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them we lead by example? Our children watch us, don't they? In fact, if you let somebody know you're a Christian, everybody watch you. Is that right? And so, if they're looking for perfection, we're going to fail them all the time. But we do want to be real. And you know what I've seen over the years? I really believe this is true, that what we are passionate about can have an influence in others. What we are passionate about, maybe you had a, maybe your dad was into maybe cars or something like that. You might not be a mechanic, but you might develop some interest that he had, or maybe some activity or sport or something that he was passionate about. Something, you know, your son or daughter may develop that. Even others around us, sometimes our friends, maybe coworkers, they're into something, we really aren't, but then we start checking it out and we kind of get into it a little bit. So we lead by example and what we are passionate about. That's why he starts with the heart. And he says, if you love God with all of your heart, then that can be an influence into those who are around us and closest to us. Would you look at verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words, which I command you today, notice they shall be where? In your heart. See, it always comes back to the heart when we're dealing with God. Always comes back to the heart. He's after our heart. And he says, you love him with all your heart. And then get his word down in your heart. And he says, they shall be in your heart. Let me pause there a second, because we've got to get God's word in our heart. We need to learn the word to live the word, right? So to live God's word, we have to actually know what God's word says and how we can live it out. So live God's word, then give God's word. And, you know, the Bible says that we're to treasure God's word. The psalmist David said, your word have I hidden in my heart, but that word is treasure. Your word I've treasured in my heart that I will not sin against you. So I want to encourage you to treasure God's word in your heart. Feed your faith in the Lord with scripture to strengthen your faith in the Lord, because we're going to need his strength and grace to help us to live his way. God's ways and God's will or in God's word. So if we want to know God's ways and his will, then we need to open up his word and learn it for ourselves. Live God's word, give God's word. Would you say that with me? Live God's word, give God's word. And then, so to give God's word then, the Bible says this in verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And notice, it's a way of life. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. See, God wants us to give God's word. It's not lecture-oriented, it's life-oriented. It's practical, and to live it out. So we live God's word, then we give God's word, because then our words are matching up. Y'all heard of show and tell, right? So we show that we love God, we want to live by his word, and then we can share God's word. So we live God's word and we give God's word. And I would just say this to whether it's a parent or any relationship, if we spend time together and do activities together, we will have opportunity to give God's word. It will just come up in life. For example, you could be watching a kid's show with your child, maybe grandchild, whatever the case may be, and something comes on TV that you know is not, that's not really good. You know, that's not something that I really want my child to believe or to follow. Then you have an opportunity to share what God's word says and say, we believe this, and God wants us to do that, and he loves us so much. This is why he is his best for us. So we share with them. Those are called teachable moments. And if we spend some time together, we do activities together, I believe life and I believe God's Spirit will open doors of opportunity to give us to share with them God's word. And so let me just keep on going then. He says this in verse 8, you shall bind them. In other words, keep God's word in front of you and give yourself reminders. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So keep God's word in front of you. Then out of our living God's word, then what happens is our children might ask. Children ask questions. So they ask, or anyone asks for that matter, well, why do you live that way? Or why do you go to church? Or why do you, whatever it may be. This is what the Bible says of how we can respond to them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20. Would you look at that? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20. The Bible says, when your son or your daughter or anyone asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, statutes, and judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? In other words, what's the meaning of this scripture? And then the Bible says this, if you just drop down to verse 24, that we answer back, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, notice, for our good always. God gave us his word out of love. It's for our good when we live it out. So for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Bring them up in the Lord. Live God's word, give God's word. And that phrase, to bring them up, actually means to repeat. I'm sorry, not bring them up. Teach diligently. The Hebrew teach diligently. Some translations say repeat them often. Some actually say impress. Like you've got soft clay. How many of you ever played with Play-Doh? Y'all remember that? You remember, if I remember correctly, at one time we used to get a newspaper. And you could take the like the comic section on Sundays because it was in color. Oh, silly putty. Thank you. Not Play-Doh. Silly putty. And you could do like this on the silly putty and press down, and then you lift it up, and the picture is actually on the silly putty. Any of y'all ever do that? Okay. All right. That's, you impressed that picture on the silly putty. And see, God wants us to give God's word in a way that it's impressed on their hearts so that then they reflect it out and they live it out. So some truths need to be repeated because they're that important. So I just want to give you three simple ones real quick as before we close out today of how to live God's word and to give God's word in these three specific areas. And if you have your Bible, would you join me in the book of Proverbs? It's toward the middle of your Bible, Proverbs chapter 9, after the book of Psalms, one of the larger books, Proverbs chapter 9. Again, certain truths need to be repeated. And that's okay. The Bible even tells adults in the New Testament, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. Right? Sometimes we just need to be reminded to help us to live it out. So bring them up in the Lord, live God's word, and then give God's word. Proverbs chapter 9, if you're there, in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wise sons or daughters? We want to live it out first, but we need to teach them that God is the highest authority. So they reverence him too. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the first area that I believe we need to repeat just as a way of life is in the area of faith. So we live God's word, give God's word, relate it to our faith. So it's important for us not only to know, it's important for our sons and daughters to know that God is the highest authority, but they also need to know how much God loves them so that they love him back. That's so important. I can't stress that enough. If we come to realize, even to some degree, how much God loves us, it can make a difference in how we live. So that they are loved and they love the Lord. Over in chapter 13, in fact, let me just tell them to you real quick if you want to write the references down so your hands aren't too busy. We repeat these truths related to faith, to friends, and to finances. Faith, friends, and finances. Because the goal is that they will believe God's word and follow Jesus too. That's why I say when we have opportunity to spend time with them, when the Lord opens that door, share your testimony. What brought you to Jesus? Why are you still following the Lord to this day? That's your testimony. And they need to know that. They need to hear it from us. They need to see it in us to give them that human example that we can follow along with the perfect example of our Father in heaven. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, we read these words, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed." How many people have been hurt because they made close associations with some bad influences? And God still loves and cares, but we can sure reap some consequences in this life, can't we, from some bad choices that we make. I'll read you this. You can stay right there if you want. But let me read you just a couple verses in Proverbs chapter 1. Because our sons and daughters not only need to know how to choose good friends, they also need to know how to say no to evil influences, because they are out there, you know it. And we have to know how to say no as well. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. I'm only going to read the first and the last verse there. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." So we talk to our sons and daughters, "Hey, you're going to be tempted. You'll be tempted to do wrong. And this is what, if you really want to do right, this is what you can do." And then he says this in verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." The Bible says the righteous should choose their friends carefully, because the way of the wicked leads them astray. And do not be deceived, 1 Corinthians 15. Evil companions corrupt good manners. So to have the wisdom of God related to faith and then to friends, and then one more, Proverbs 22 and verse 7, and to finances. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7 says this, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." We need to be wise. They need to be wise with money. And here's why. Because we are managing God's resources. The Bible clearly teaches that everything that we have, even our breath, belongs to God. And we are to manage it wisely for him. And we have created a culture. This isn't a put down of anyone. It's just kind of a lifestyle now that we've adopted for many of us. I'm not saying all borrowing is evil. I am saying that when we borrow, we need to be wise enough to have a way to pay it off and to have a plan to get out of debt. We don't want to just live in debt, because that keeps us in bondage. And there can be a lot of pressure that causes strife and turmoil, even in our relationships sometimes. So we don't want to live that way. God has better for us. So we want to be wise. We want to manage wisely. Do you see how it all comes back to wisdom? We need God's wisdom. Bring them up in the Lord, bringing others up in the Lord. So we live God's word and we give God's word. And if you just want to write these verses down, I'll close back where we started, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And before I read these last two verses, the key to influence is close relationships. When we're close to one another, we have an opportunity to be an influence to them. God wants us in close fellowship with him, because he wants the influence of his spirit on us, and then he wants his influence to go through us to others. And with all I've said, I know we all fall short at times. I said earlier, I'm thankful that I'm a dad. Have I been a perfect father? No, I look back with sadness sometimes and I think, man, I wish I would have just handled this differently. I wish I'd have maybe said this different. And all I can say is I'm thankful for grace. I try to learn and grow in Christ likeness, and I hope even that example will be a testimony to Brittany and influence to her and to others, that when I fall, I want to learn from it. I want to grow from it, because even that can be an influence. Because it's not just that we are a godly influence and want to be. Sooner or later, we're all going to fall short. Are you going to know how to respond then? And if we respond by saying, you know what, I'm not making any excuses. I'm just going to be real and just come to the Lord with repentance in my heart and faith in Him and say, Lord, I'm here to receive your grace and your forgiveness, and I thank you, you provided it for me, and stay in close fellowship with the Lord and keep walking with Him. That's so important, because the devil is the accuser and the condemner, not the Lord. I wonder how many people actually grow for the better from accusation, condemnation, put down, shaming. I don't really think so. I believe that God's Spirit draws us to say, I loved you enough to pay for that sin, and now you come to me for grace, and I'm going to help you have victory over that sin. And so there's restoration and fellowship. That's encouraging to me, to know that God, and when I do fall, He's a good Father, and He forgives me, and I thank God He's not holding it over my head. I thank God that Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He came back to life and sent His Spirit to change our hearts and grant us new beginnings. I have come to the place in my life, I do not take new beginnings for granted. I thank God for His goodness and love for me. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. Would you say that with me? That it may be well with you. Remember those words you read earlier? Keep the word for our good. That's God's heart. I want to say this. God loves you. He loves your family. He knows maybe the struggles, situation that you're facing and that you're going through. He's for us and not against us. And God's Spirit indwells us when we are born again to help us live His way. And when we live God's way, it brings His full blessings. That's what the Scripture is telling us. We can honor our earthly parents. We are to, even if they're not here. We can honor them by how we speak about them in the memory. And we can honor our Father in heaven by living God's Word and giving God's Word. And I believe it's so important. I want to ask you today as we close in prayer, will you ask God to help you to live His Word and to give His Word? And here's how I want to say it, in His way. Because I can give the Word harshly. I can give the Word, you know, the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And remember what Peter did when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus? He took a sword and did what? Cut one of the arresting officer's ears off. And I believe there's a picture there. We can use Scripture in a way of such maybe harshness or condemnation that we cut off the hearing of someone we're speaking to. But we can use it in a way by God's Spirit to just give the Word in love and trust Him to make it the sword that goes in and pierces the heart to accomplish His will and purpose. Bring them up in the Lord. Live God's Word. Give God's Word. Can you get anything out of that today? Why don't we stand together and let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to ask you to just take a quiet moment between your heart and your Father in heaven right now and just say, Lord, help me. Where can I apply this? How can I live this out in ways that honor you? And maybe today, you can't say, father to him right now, but you can by simply doing this. God, I know I've sinned. I've broken your commandments. I'm sorry. But I believe you love me. And right now, I want to ask you to forgive me. I believe Jesus died and rose again. And right now, Lord, if you want me, here I am. I give you my heart. I give you myself. And help me to follow your Son. Now, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Help me to live for you. Maybe you are a Christian today, and there's an area where you feel like you've fallen short. Again, I hope you haven't heard this today with any condemnation. I hope it's encouraged you to say, you know what, when I fall, I'm going to fall forward. I'm going to at least fall to Jesus. I'm going to just draw closer to him. So, Lord, I need you. Help me. I want you to be free from condemnation today. I want you to have grace and joy in your walk with the Lord. Just even with our heads bowed right now before we sing this chorus, is there anyone here who would say, Brother Rocky, there is a specific area in my life right now, and I want prayer to live this out. Is there anyone who would just raise your hand and say, would you pray for me? Would you hold your hands up just a moment? God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Go ahead and put your hands down. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters today. Lord, I thank you for their honesty in their heart. And I pray right now that your Spirit is just going to meet them at their point of need. Give them grace. I pray for wisdom in how to live this truth out. Whatever that area is, I pray that it's going to be a testimony of your grace that's going to bring you glory, Lord. And you'll use it to draw someone else to you or to encourage them in their walk with the Lord as well. Help us. Help us, Lord. We need your help. We need each other. Help us to be the parents, maybe grandparents, Lord, just the godly friends you would have us to be for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name.